Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome each one to here. Glad to see our visitors from Summersville and others here as well. It's a beautiful day, and it's beautiful to be together this morning. It was so nice to be back in Sunday school again, and it looks like the basement class has got a nice lift as well. It's just the environment looks very pleasant. But we had a very pleasant time up here, so the only differences was time, and we had more people in our class this morning. I would like to invite your attention. Oh, by the way, I would like to second James's motion. So I'm going to put the honest on Joseph closing at the end to ask the girls to sing at the end. It would be great. That would be lovely. Also want to thank you all. This has been kind of a rough week for my brother Steve. We took him to the doctor on Thursday, and he had a big swollen foot, couldn't walk, and we were afraid of a lot of different things. And it looks like he's a little better this morning, so thank you for your care and your prayers and all that. Okay, I would like to invite your attention to Acts chapter 6. I'd like to read a few verses out of Acts 6 and out of Acts 7. Those of you that love the Acts, as in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about how the Pharisees, how the Jews persecuted Jesus because they did not appreciate and did not understand his oneness with God the Father. They didn't recognize Jesus as God, and when he made reference to that, they just couldn't handle that. They were God's special people, and what they didn't understand is that their purpose was to bring Christ into the world, and they did that. By the way, who is Jesus? What's your first thought? If I ask you, who is Jesus? What would you say? I heard Son of God. God in the flesh. Who else is he? Redeemer of the world. Who else? He's our Savior. Personal Redeemer. Friend, advocate, Lamb of God, bread of life. Why don't some of you say he was a Jew? He was. And that's where they saw that Christ was going to be. And that's all they saw. But he's not. You know, that's not your first thought, but that was, you know. So, you know, Christ is all of those things. So now let me ask you the next question. What is the church? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? What is the church? Bride of Christ. What is the church? The body of Christ. Where is Christ in this body? Huh? He's the head. Now, can you imagine a body without a head? Yeah, it's not very pretty. Can you imagine a wedding without a groom? Probably not very pretty either. So that's where the two come together. Christ is the head of the body. He's the groom at the wedding. It's a beautiful thing, and we have to get it together. If the church is an end in itself, we are just like the Jews were back then when they thought Israel was God's chosen people. They were blessed of God, and they could do no wrong. And they, everything, you know, whatever whatever, anything that went against our culture was wrong. But here it is. You know, we have to keep it's together. And that's the way it was intended to be, and that's the way it is. And so that's the way it will continue to be. So Christ is our life. I'd like to start reading in Acts chapter 6 with verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And the last verse says, And all they that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" Verse 1, chapter 7. And then it goes on to give a beautiful exposition of the history of Israel. Stephen, he had this thing all. He knew it. And that's the way most of the Israelites would have learned their history, would have been orally, just like this. He recounted it again and again, or different people would do that. And it's beautiful to see how God worked in the lives of his people. But it was for a purpose. It was to bring, again, it was to bring the Redeemer into the world. That was their purpose, and that's what they missed. And the chapter is long. It's 60 verses long. I'm not going to read it, so you can rest easy. But I would like to look at this last part. Remember that it says that Stephen was full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. Remember that when we read this last part. Verse 54, and when they heard these things, maybe I'll back up just a few little bit. And when they heard him speak, and in verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye always do resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." And says in verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped him with their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The story of the first Christian martyr in the history of the church, a man that definitely had within him the Holy Spirit and had on him the character of Christ. He said almost exactly the same things as Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here he's saying, "Father, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Who is he talking about? He was talking about the people that were stoning him. He had on him the character of Christ. He had in him the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that count with God. And it was such an honor for him to see heaven opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It's just incredible to visualize that welcoming party right there. You know, he had it clear that Christ and the church was the most important thing to him. And in that clarity, he could see beyond the people that were throwing stones and killing him. And I love that vision that he had there of being clear. And I trust that it can be shared with us this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer.